I'll explain a little bit more a bit later, but I think flip-flops kind of divide people into two groups. People who say, oh, yeah, you get your flip-flops on, your little toes can feel the air. I wear flip-flops lots of times during the summer, and I feel a different human being. I feel brilliant. And the other half of the people just say, ugh. You can see people's toenails. You can smell things. It's, oh, no. It's horrible. More of this later. Because we have some guests amongst us, and you know that over the past wee while we've been really harnessing and pairing up with various community groups that serve our community. We've had Food Bank Sunday, My Sister's House, Men's Shed. We had lots of community groups that we've kind of been thinking, well, they're out and about doing the stuff that Jesus would do, so why are we all huddled in here instead of getting out there and giving it some of that? So this week, I'm delighted to introduce to you some members of the Aran Angels. Now, it's important that we recognise the Aran Angels because it's their 10th anniversary. So last Saturday, we had a bit of a knees up with fish and chips, stuff like that, and we celebrated 10 years of the Aran Angels organisation. And so what we thought we'd do after 10 years is have a bit of a recommissioning, a bit of a reboot, a bit of a woohoo, let's have another 10 years of Aran Angels. So with lots of embarrassment, could I ask the few Aran Angels that have been able to get here today, could you mind just popping up here for a minute? Oh, they look so keen, don't they? Don't you love being in front of people? Hey, Val! Right, so they've come from their various churches. So what I'll just do by quick introduction is you can have the microphone, and you can tell us who you are, where you normally worship, and how long you've been angeling. All right? Steve, you're first.
Hi, I'm Steve Avery. I worship here, and I've been doing angels since the start.
I'm Val Dock. I worship at Bognor Vineyard, and I've been doing angels for 9 years.
I'm Sue O'Neill. I worship St. Thomas of Becket in Pagham, and I just want to say thank you for a warm church today. I'm not used to that. And a warm hearts as well. And I've been angeling for 9 years.
Hi, I'm Ronnie Gale. I worship at Aldwych Baptist Church, and I've been an Aran Angel, new boy on the job, for about 6 months.
I love the fact that we call them, they've verbalised it, they've made it into a verb. Did you hear them say, we've been angeling? Yeah, that's a proper word now, it's a proper thing. And I love the fact that we call them angels, and they're angelic, and they're as ordinary as you and me. And there's a powerful message in here for everyone today, because we've been doing it for 10 years. I'm one of the trustees, as is Steve, who's stepped out of doing the actual walking around in the middle of the night. So there's some overt, unashamed recruitment going on this morning. Oh yeah, yes, they can do it, and so can you. We've been doing it for 10 years, we want to do another 10 years, so this is a brilliant opportunity to showcase what they do and to make it seem so ordinary and available and brilliant that I'm going to challenge you this morning to come up with the reason why you're not going to do it as well. Thank you so much. If you want to take to your seats, I will probably come and pester you. So I've got a bit of a croaky voice this morning, so if I want to rest, I shall ask one of these angels to share a story or two of what they get up to. So just very, very briefly, between the hours of sort of 9 p.m. and, well, 1 a.m., 1:30-ish, when you're all tucked up in bed, these guys will be walking around the middle of Bognor, serving people's needs, helping, and helping in quite unusual ways, because you can imagine the people that have been down the seafront, been given it a few bevvies, how do they need help? Quite often you'll see somebody is absolutely a complete trashed mess, and a lot of the times you'll want to say, "Ugh, you brought it on yourself. I'm sorry, but that's what you get when you drink that much and overindulge, and I'm just going to go over here and walk away because yuck." Or they may be a bit shirty or a bit violent or a bit mouthy. So these guys will be serving and helping in a very quiet and gentle way. There are no statutory powers, and those uniforms don't give them the authority to do anything. So I really want to underpin what they do with some scripture. It's from Ephesians. They volunteer, they do it because of their heart, and I know that a lot of the people around Bodham, I've been doing it for 10 years now, a lot of people around Bodham will give them a big cheery wave whenever they see them. And it's about developing a relationship with your community. It's the nighttime community. It's the kind of people that want to go out and get absolutely smashed because they want to forget the dire nonsense and rubbish that they're living with and just have a right old Barney. Well, of course, then, if you've completely lost all your dignity and you're helpless, you're all right, there's the ambulance, 999, if you're really up a creek, or the police, 999, if there's a bit of a fisticuffs. But more often than not, there's a bit of soft work that can be done in between some of those crises. And there are lots of stories, and I really want to make sure that the angel's voice gets heard today. It started with the churches together. Have you heard? There's lots of inter-church work going on. It started with the churches together and the crime reduction unit with Sussex Police. And one tiny little story that was told to me right at the beginning was a young lad sitting on the pavement. He's been dumped by his girlfriend. He's had far too much to drink. He's really, really angry. He has a choice of picking up a brick and lobbing it through a shop window, causing £4,000 worth of damage, or one of these guys can just squat down and say, "How are you doing? Let's talk about it. You effing blind and swear your head off, I don't mind. I'd rather sit and talk with you, give you a bottle of water, and let you churn it all out than see a brick go through a window." So for the first few years, Sussex Police were measuring the reduction in violent crime in Bognor, and it came down, Steve, do you remember, sort of 11-12%, something like that. So, because the police gave us money and they want metrics. So it's measurable impact of being peaceful and calm and just a presence. So let me go to Ephesians 6. When the angels meet on a Saturday night at 9 o'clock, they have a little prayer. And I'm pretty sure that this putting on the armour of God prayer is quite a regular one. So Ephesians 6. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So the idea of arming yourself and equipping yourself to protect yourself against these... I'll just go back over. Who are we fighting against? Rulers, the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil. So these are hidden. It's a hidden enemy. It's an invisible enemy. Paul would have chosen that metaphor, that sort of image of a Roman soldier for very powerful reasons. The Roman Empire, the occupying force. He spent a lot of time in prison. He's bound to be a bit grumpy about rulers and authorities. So the idea of a Roman soldier, which conquering the globe, he's sliding in the idea that this gospel, if we were as half as successful soldiers for the gospel, then the empire of Christ could completely overdominate. So the idea of domination and power is flipped on its head when he says, but we're not fighting flesh. You've all seen that image of David and Goliath, and they put some armor on him first, didn't they? And he couldn't see. The helmet dropped down over his eyes and he couldn't move. The idea of helmet covering your eyes, dirty great shield, swatting a sword around when someone says, but it's not flesh and blood, what are you doing? So you need to arm yourself with something quite different. And I think the dark forces that are being addressed, that enemy that we're looking to overcome, you're looking at depression, you're looking at addiction, temptation, poverty, self-image, neglect. Totally invisible. They manifest themselves. You can see the outcomes from them. But as a force, as a dark force that impinges on people's lives and causes them to go down the middle of town and get leery, it's because of the force that's twisting them. It's shaping them so negatively. And this is what I think the Iron Angels come up against. I don't know whether you do pray that prayer of the armour of God when you do gather together at 9 o'clock. No big nod, so it's probably no. Well, you ought to. It's the shoes of the gospel of peace that I'm going to focus on first. But first, I was going to say I'm going to make sure that I get them all to speak. Steve, I'll nip up to the back for you, Steve. Steve, you got some weapons. What do the Iron Angels normally carry? What are their weapons of choice when you're out and about?
Well, our weapons of choice are flip-flops, bottled water, and I don't know what you call them. You know those foil blankets which you see in the Olympics whenever they finish running? And, yep, those sort of things to keep people warm. And more than that, a listening ear.
Pretty powerful weapons, all tooled up, pair of flip-flops. It made me giggle one night when actually, I've got to be careful because this might go on the internet and someone might listen to this, but my daughter Alice, she's only 5 foot. She won't listen to it, will she? No. She's only 5 foot. Well, she still is 5 foot. You don't shrink, do you? You'll grow when you're older. Anyway, she when she was in her teens, she would sort of go out with her mates. And there was one night when she was out and we let herself in. The following morning, I got up to make some coffee and there was a pair of flip-flops down on the front. And I thought, I don't reckon those. I've never seen those flip-flops before. Made coffee and all the rest of it. She came downstairs, very well-worn after the evening around Bognor, basically saying, Dad, can you be a bit quieter making that coffee? Because it's just a bit noisy. So I said, Alice, these flip-flops. Anyway, the short version was, she went out, like most people who are 5 foot and wanting to have a good time, she went out at 5'6", because of the heels that she was wearing. And around about midnight, you get fed up of wearing heels, apparently. Jamie says yes, he's nodding, yeah. After a long evening on your toes, the heels come off, and they carry on drinking and having dancing and fun and all the rest of it. And of course, she came across some angels and said, hello. My dad knows something about you. It's really embarrassing, I expect. But the idea is to give a young girl a pair of flip-flops because tottering home, broken glass, rough pavements, that kind of thing. It's such a simple little thing to do, isn't it? And it ushers in a whole new level of support and care. So the verse I'm going to focus down on is to have our feet fitted with readiness of the gospel of peace. Now, there's a couple of commentators about this word readiness. Has anyone got a different version of the Bible in your hand or on your phone where that word, readiness, is translated differently? Has anybody got one? What have you got, Simon?
Preparation.
Preparation. Thank you. So it's the preparation of the gospel of peace. Any other forms or words similar to it? Preparation or readiness.
I'm now, here as well.
Go on then.
If you, else is
go on, good man.
Firm-footed stability.
Ooh. Firm-footed stability. Preparation and readiness. Thank you. So it's a bit tricky because the commentators would say that that particular word in its original form doesn't occur very often. So you can't find many examples of how it's used to compare it so you know what it really means. But the idea of firm footing or readiness, it's kind of, probably the best way to think of it is if you're decorating the back bedroom, you want to rub the walls down, fill in the holes, rub it down again, put a base layer on. You're doing the preparation work. It's the readiness for. If you're building a brick wall, then you'll dig a trench, you'll fill it with concrete and put the first layer down of breeze blocks because it's the footing, it's the preparation, it's the readiness. So the peace that is called upon here, it's a preparation and a founding. It's a founding. It's not by accident that Paul leaves the feet at the bottom, because imagine a Roman soldier with all that kit on and he's standing there barefoot going, useless. So your feet are foundational to your operation. We've already had that word today about moving and getting out, and the angels are moving and treading across Bognor. So it's this feeling of being prepared, of being ready, of having your footing absolutely right. There are lots of images of the Roman soldiers' sandals which had hobnails sticking out the bottom like golfer's shoes, because if you're a dirty great soldier, you'd only be skidding around. So it's that solidity and that foundational thing that peace gives us. And where do we draw that peace from within ourselves? We draw it from our salvation. We know that God loves us. We know that love is totally inseparable. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And you know that right deep down, he's got hold of you. And right deep down, there is that sense of acceptance, total forgiveness. And right deep down there is an utter contentment. There's utter peace at knowing your salvation. And that's what's carried by every angel as they walk around town. Another one? Val, do you want to tell us a story? What do you get up to on a Saturday night?
I could tell you a lot of things. How long have I got? Perhaps following up from what you said, one of the ways we get ready to take the gospel of peace to the streets is we treasure seek. Some of you may know what treasure seeking is, but we ask the Lord for words, pictures, and we very much believe that God's word is really important for us to be ready to take the gospel of peace to Bognor. And we've had some really exciting adventures going forward with the words that we've been given. People are often asking us, why do you do what you do? You know, it's dark, it's cold, it's wet. Wouldn't you rather be in bed? And we have to be prepared to answer people. And it's not the same pat answer for everyone. We have to listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling us, how to be sensitive and appropriate in how we answer. I very much believe that if Jesus was with us in body, in Bognor, then he would be doing exactly that. He'd be going around, he'd be looking for those who were hurting, who were distressed. Now to stories, perhaps one of our favourite stories is the taxi prayer. God has taught us that when we come across people in taxi queues, they're waiting often a long, long time. If you've ever been to any of the clubs or pubs and waited for a taxi, you know it can be a long wait. And in certain circumstances, we've said to God, Lord, this couple, this person really needs a taxi now, and I know they're really, really drunk, and taxi cabs wouldn't normally take a person in this state, but you know the situation, Lord. And time and time again, a taxi has amazingly arrived and been prepared to take that person home. And these are sort of the minor miracles that happen. You probably don't want me to go on much longer, but they...
Thanks, Belle. While I'm up here, Sue, you're loitering around the corner.
So people often ask, as Val said, why we do it. And I heard about the angels when they originally got together 10 years ago. And I thought, what a great idea for other people to go and do. And the word kept coming to me. I kept hearing more about it. And I kept saying to God, look, surely this isn't the best use for me of plodding the streets in the middle of the night. You know, I like my bed. I love my sleep. And really, is this what you want me to do? And of course, the answer is yes. That's where God wants us to be. He wants us to be with the people who are hurting, the people who need a kind word. He wants us to be gentle. Most important, I think, is he doesn't want us to judge. And when we meet people on the streets and they say, are you Christians? And they expect us to be judgmental, because that's how many people view Christians. And that's the one thing that we never are. We meet people where they are and where their needs are. And I think we bring some peace and some gentleness and some kindness. And that's what most people are in need of.
Thanks, guys. You see, it's dangerous work out there, isn't it? Oh, come on. Be kind. Just listen to people. Just help them. Share that deep knowledge of the peace that you have. I mean, the image of the Roman soldier is poetic. It's a metaphor. It's an imagined thing. So allow your imagination to enjoy what we're doing with the Aaron Angels, their footprints. If you could do that little tracker that you've all got on your phone, and how many miles do you do per night? It must be loads. But every footprint, leaving a footprint of peace. The police like measuring it, and they like getting their data, and they can tell you the violent crime drops by X percent. But what we're doing, we're carrying something and sharing something. This is such a simple circumstance. Middle of the night around Bodner, it's not going to be the happiest place, so they tend to go in threes and fours and stick together. Recently they've been taken to those mobile coffee carriers. That goes down really well, free coffee. So this is really powerful, really ordinary way of serving the community. And I'll just finish with the image of the flip-flop. I'll return to that just as I close. Because when you've got flip-flops on, you're really vulnerable. You could stub your toe. Someone could drop something on it. Someone can see the bits that you normally hide. There's something really vulnerable about wearing flip-flops. And to me, it speaks so powerfully of being open, of being available, about being unprotected, but unconcerned about that, because you know who's got your back. You know who you're connected to, right in the deepest possible place. No Aaron Angel has ever come to harm in the act of angeling. Right. Here's the recruitment bit. Well, you weren't going to get away with it, were you? Sitting there smiling. It's simple, really. You've got a little card. That's all it is. Nothing on it, apart from our emblem. I've got about 200, so if there's, when we do communion, if you can make sure you take one away. So you'll either pop it in your Bible and pray like Sue prayed, Lord, do you want me to do this? What's this important? Or you'll drop it in the car and find it in 2 months' time. Or you give it to somebody and said, I think you ought to think about doing this. Doesn't really matter. It's just something practical to take away. And if it sparks a thought, either in yourself or for somebody else, then we're constantly recruiting. 10 years ago, we started with about 24 angels, and we were out every night in teams of six or so. Now we're down to around about, there's about a dozen, maybe 10 or a dozen, so they're in two teams, so they go out just once a month, so the patrols are just twice a month. So we've dropped off a little bit. We would love to reboot that. And Jamie's now going to come and help with the communion, because we would love angels to help us with that as well. But before that, we'll pray for them. Yeah, is that right? Yes.